The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast with Alex Stone and Chris Pimlott in the studio to look ahead to the best of the action coming up on Thursday. It is the second day of Chester's May meeting, shall we call it, Pimmons? May Festival? I never know what to call this. May meeting?
I think we just call it the May meeting, don't we? I don't think we have to get giddy like York next week calling it the Dante Festival.
It's not a festival, is it?
It isn't, but I think that it's like that nightmare that created as Ladies' Day at many his meetings. It's a new word, but it's still 3 days of great racing, both at Chester and obviously looking forward to York next week as well.
Absolutely. We're recording this prior to racing on Wednesday, so we can't shed any light on the goings-on at Chester on Wednesday. But you'd imagine, if you're going to go off previous years, that Marwan Kukash will have had a winner or two, and the winners of the sprints will have been drawn low.
Yeah, I mean, low's always very important in the sprint races at Chester. Certainly in that two-year-old race, the opening race, you need to be low and show plenty of dash. And again, Dr. Marwan Kukash throws plenty of darts at the board at Chester, and some of them are going to stick. It's as simple as that.
It sounds blatantly obvious, doesn't it? But yeah.
Whether the ones that they actually think are the more fancied ones stick, who knows? But
yeah,
I don't
true.
Think they're really bothered as long as he gets into that winner's enclosure.
That's true. We've got four races to look at. We'll get to those in just a moment. A handicap, the Huxley Stakes, easy for me to say, the Chester Vars, and a handicap over almost a mile to look forward to in just a moment. We'll just touch on the fact that we've got the Huxley Stakes as one of the bigger races, as well as the Chester Vars. Aidan O'Brien in the Chester Vars, his record is just phenomenal, and he doesn't send many over to Chester. But, I mean, we'll touch on this race in more detail soon, but since 2007, he's had 5 winners from 8. That's not bad, is it?
It's not bad, but we are talking about Aidan O'Brien. You know, his stats are usually far better than the majority of any other trainer, aren't they?
Mm.
And as you quite rightly said, he doesn't actually bring too many to Chester. So when he does, you know that you're on a trier.
Yeah, that is fair. But surprising, maybe, that more Irish trainers don't send as many over. We've got a few over the course of the week, but you compare it to, say, York, or, of course, Ascot is sort of a different kettle of fish, but plenty of Irish runners at Newmarket for the Craven meeting. Do you think Chester's something that they don't target as much?
Maybe don't target. I mean, I can say to the same question, why didn't we send more horses to the Punchestown Festival?
Mm.
You know, very few and far between, were we, over there? So I just don't know how it works, really. But I suppose maybe the frame of the races, the type of races that are run at Chester, don't necessarily suit all Irish trainers' horses.
Okay. No, it's fair. Just something I was wondering. But
yeah.
Okay.
I do worry about you.
Well, many people do, Pimmers. Don't worry about me. We'll start with the 210 then from Chester, which is a handicap over the extended mile and 2 furlongs. 12 runners down to go to post here, Pimmers. And we'll start with last year's winner, Tres Coronas, for David Barron.
Yeah, I like the trainer, like the jockey. The horse is a nice little horse as well. He won round here last year. He came out of stall number 3 last year. He's only drawn 1 higher in 4 this time as well. So that's all positive. Won off a mark of 94 last year, up to 99. So he might find that a little bit harder. But he's certainly a player, that is for sure.
OK. We've got collaboration for Andrew Balding. David Probert takes the ride on that one. A horse that's looked a different horse this year, has been very, very impressive on both runs. The handicapper has had his say, but that might not be enough to stop him.
No, tremendous performance last time we saw him at Epsom. He's gone from a mark of 75 up to 95, but to be perfectly honest, he has warranted that great big hike up the weights. His success last time was very, very impressive, I thought. And I thought he might even go on to bigger and better things, this fella, in the future. So again, this still might be a stepping stone for him. It's very tough as far as he's very competitive handicap. A lot of these guys been there, done that, got the T-shirt, and still a racing off a mark in the 90s. So that tells its own story. But I think there's a lot more to come from collaboration.
Is collaboration going to be the pick?
He is indeed.
OK, collaboration the pick then for Andrew Balding in Chester's 210. Next up is the 240. It's the Huxley Stakes over the extended mile and 2 furlongs once again. We've got 7 runners down to go to post here, Pimmers, and there really isn't much to split them on official ratings. We've got 3 rated 112, 3 rated 111, and 106 rated animal. It's going to be a pretty tight race, this.
Yeah, I'm certainly going to take a conservative view of this race, actually. Post time of 2:40. I'm certainly going to be very liberal with mistakes, and I'm just hoping that the horse I select isn't going to labour up that home straight.
That's nice, isn't it? That's very clever. Very clever. What's it going to be for me?
I'm going to go with Cannock Chase. I thought he ran far better race than he suggested, his final position suggested, when we saw him behind Western Him last time out. He's an interesting horse. I remember that Ken was paddock side that occasion. He said the horse wasn't fit. Not fit, Chris. So I'm hoping that he's come on for that run 13 days ago and he's certainly going to make his presence felt here. And I thought the main danger would come from Maverick Wave, who made all the running to win at Chelmsford City last time out. Mile and two, the same trip as he's got tomorrow afternoon. And he's a fairly tough and consistent horse. And on official ratings, he's got to be there or thereabouts.
OK. In terms of dangers, I know you mentioned Maverick Wave as the main danger. You've got the likes of Windhoek in there, who's a very classy animal, but does have to carry the penalty. Air Pilot, another one that's making his seasonal reappearance. And Gabriel, although inferior on the ratings, does like it round here. We mentioned earlier Marwan Kukash's record. Do you think it's a race where you can really just narrow it down to two?
No, and certainly on official ratings, you know, all bar, to be honest, Gabrielle, are all very, very much of a muchness. And like you say, the penalty will just anchor Windhoek a little bit. But by all accounts, all the others are very much of a muchness and they really should finish in a blanket finish.
OK. Well, that'll be good to watch anyway, wouldn't it?
It will indeed.
I think we've got some prices up online for this race. Cannock Chase is your 2-1 market leader at the time of recording. Air Pilot 7-2, Maverick Wave 11-2, Windhoek at 6s, Grandeur at 8s, Fatsota at 9s, and Gabriel at 12s. So the market just reflecting what you've just said there, Pimmers. It is an open race, 2-1 the field, and you'd expect that it'll go off somewhere around that price as well. So an intriguing Huxley Stakes to look forward to there.
Yeah, very fascinating. Good prize money on offer. Of £34,026 to the winner, and the vote has gone to Cannock Chase.
Some lovely references in here, Pimmers. Mm. Very, very nice. The 310 is next up. It is the Chester Vars, a Group 3 contest over the extended mile and a half. 6 runners going to post in this one. We touched earlier, Pimmers, on Aidan O'Brien's fantastic record in the race. He runs Hans Holbein here, the sole runner for Aidan O'Brien here. But on form, he's got a bit to do.
He certainly has got a bit to do. I mean, admittedly, it was soft ground when he won at Leopardstown, so that's certainly going to help him tomorrow because he's going to get similar conditions. He made all, kept on well inside the final furlong on that occasion. He beat Valak, who's been beaten since, so he hasn't really franked the form. And to be fair, you know, he's got an awful lot to find for me. Admittedly, there could be more improvement to come from him, but I think he's... the price he more than likely is because he's of his connections and what might possibly be. Mm. But for me, Future Empire, who I thought ran a blinder in defeat behind Christopher Marlowe at Epsom last time out, he looked like he was crying out for an extra couple of furlongs. And for me, his form at this moment in time is head and shoulders above Hans Holbein's. So if you're looking purely at it on what we've seen so far, then for me, Future Empire comes out on top.
OK, Future Empire, the pick. Cheap piece for the first time. You mentioned ran behind Christopher Marlowe. That form looks as good as anything that you're going to find in the race. But when you compare, you know, beaten 4 lengths by Christopher Marlowe, Future Empire, yeah, compared to Hans Holbein, who won a maiden and wasn't so impressive that you would go, right, notebook, you know, just a nice enough winner.
And he had the piece on for the first time, so they might have had the effect as well on that occasion. And I just think that, you know, we're guessing on how much Hans Holbein's come along since that Leopardstown success.
So you're going with the tried and trusted?
The tried and trusted, the boys in blue.
OK. Just very quickly, Pimmers, anything else in that race? There's 4 other runners. Anything worthy of mention? None of them look like they're world beaters, but It could be, if you want to try and get Hans Holbein out the frame, perhaps.
I think it's very difficult, to be fair.
Okay.
Medrano ran okay when he was third at Longchamp last time out in a Group 3. Beaten seven lengths, proposed. Certainly, for me, they're tilting at Wilbills with this fella in this race tomorrow. And Storm the Stars, although he was a winner at Leicester last time out, again, he's got to really up his game. And you wouldn't rule out any Mike de Kock runner, to be fair. Mm. And Tanaf, again, has a little bits and bats of form in the book that could seem competitive, but I couldn't see him in that winner's enclosure.
Okay. Proposed, a really interesting runner there. Beaten so far in by Elm Park, Commemorative and Cape Clear Island, but has never finished closer than sixth and gets a rating of 95. Going to be difficult to win, but clearly is a nice enough horse when pitched in at the right level. The final race that we're going to look at is the 3:45 from Chester. It is a handicap over 7.5 furlongs, 7 runners going to post here. Well, I say 7. We've already lost Hail Clodius. Where's your vote going?
Well, certainly it's a bit tactical, I think, won't it? Obviously, the draw's not going to be an issue now either. I thought Carry On Derek was interesting. He ran plenty well enough in a listed company last time out behind Lexington Times. Georgie George has been knocking on the door and hasn't quite opened for him as of yet. Ran well enough in defeat at Pontefract last time out. That was over 6. Capillaire Pierre, the French bred, he finished 6th last time out. Again, in a bit better company than this, enlisted company last time out. So you could definitely put him in the mix. Pleiades, which I believe is Greek mythology.
Correct.
So, I'm not really too much into that intellectual stuff, but that's what I believe. And he could be an interesting player. I thought he ran, again, better than his finishing position suggested at Beverley last time out, behind the very short-priced Bow and Arrow. Goring, we think, will be an absentee. And again, I think Billy Slater is more than likely making up the numbers. So Dr. Kukash has yet another runner, but I don't think he'll be troubling the judge.
OK, what's the winner for you then?
I think I'm going to side with the Sir Michael Stout runner, my second Stout selection of the afternoon, in the shape of number 5, Pleiades.
OK, lovely stuff, Hummus. Can you just spin us through your 4 selections at Chester on Thursday?
We can indeed, and looking forward to the second day of the May meeting. Don't forget to go out and pledge your vote tomorrow.
Very true.
Pledge your allegiance.
Very true.
And hopefully, along the way, we can tip you a number of winners. So in that 2:10 at Chester, the opening race on the card, I'm going for number 10, Collaboration, to make it a hat-trick of wins this season. And onto the second race on the card, it's the Huxley Stakes, where it's Group 3 status, and I'm going to take a chance here with Cannock Chase. I thought he ran really well in defeat on debut, and our paddock guru, Ken Peterson, said the horse looked like it would benefit from the outing there. So hopefully he's going to strip a little bit fitter there. In the 3:10, the Chester Vase, the feature race of the afternoon on the middle day of the May meeting, I'm going to take a chance with Future Empire, Bosayan Bin Sarur and James Doyle. And in the 3:45, it's a 7 furlong handicap where I'm hoping that Sir Michael Stout can make it a double on the day with number 5, Pleiades.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.